As the Lord may help, I will direct your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 24, verse 16. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 24, verse 16. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard song, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard song, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. The solemn observation which the Lord made concerning Moab was that he was not emptied from vessel to vessel, and in consequence of this he was settled upon his lees, and there was therefore no deep concern in respect to the most important things. With regard to the people of God, they are indeed emptied from vessel to vessel. They are sometimes emptied from vessel to vessel as they pass through the words that are contained in our text today. It is no place for a person to settle on their leers and to be satisfied, to fold their arms and say, I have need of nothing, when they are consciously aware of their leanness. So it may be painful to have the experience of feeling that we are lean, yet nevertheless, if this should be an emptying from vessel to vessel, then it can only result in good in the end. What will it make us do? Well, it made this man cry and say, my leanness, woe unto me. And there's only one person to whom you can speak like that and get a sympathetic and understanding answer, and that is the Lord himself. It is no use your complaining about your leanness, no use your crying out, woe unto me, even to the saints of the living God on earth. You will discover, sadly, from some of the scriptures, that when the blessing of the Lord had been received into the soul of the disciples, as when they rejoiced in the revelation, the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, told them that he was risen from the dead, and they went and told these other disciples, mark it, the apostles, that he was risen from the dead, we read, and it seemed to them, that is the apostles, it seemed to them as idle tales. So we may well come off in a very sad place if, because we feel my leanness, we go and tell our brethren about it. It may well appear in their ears, but idle tales. They may have no sympathy at all with you. But we are thankful to set before you this evening the Lord himself, who is well able to not only hear, but also to listen to what you have to say, and to give you a sympathizing look and cause you to have a sympathetic feeling coming from his heart into yours. He will not break the bruised reed, and neither will he quench the smoking flax. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. What is the cause of the leanness? Spoken of directly, explicitly, in the latter part of the verse, the treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Now, do you want a glorious Christ who will come and understand when you say the treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously? Otherwise, I would not be where I am. Who are the treacherous dealers? First of all, we shall set before you the deceitful heart, which is our own natural heart. Though we may have often read that the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yet, we are deceived by our hearts sometimes. When you come into various situations which seem fair, and your deceitful heart will say, well, that looks fair enough, you should be all right there. Alas, you then discover that you are in the hands of a treacherous dealer, with the sad result that you subsequently have to confess, my leanness, woe unto me. We can get lean, but how can we stop the leanness? We can be overcome by the power of sin, but how can we stop the sinful propensities? Well, there is one that can do so, and as grace may be given this evening, we do want to set before you that great and glorious Christ who understands, who sympathizes, he understands the sigh divine and marks a secret groan. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous, a recollection of what the gospel is, a recollection of what it has been in our own souls. But now we come to a very different situation. Job tells us of such a marked change in his own life. When he says, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, the aged arose and stood up. And so you may read on that whole of the 29th chapter, and then you come to the 30th chapter, and it starts off with this word, but now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set for the dogs of my flock. Yea, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age was perished? For want and famine they were solitary, fleeing into the wilderness in former time, desolate and waste. And so he paints before us a very different scene. Not just very different, but diametrically different. Just the very opposite of what he had enjoyed. So we may recollect the former days when the candle of the Lord shined right round about us. And may say in this connection, from the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. And how well can we remember them? But have we in our present experience gone from the 29th chapter of Job into the 30th chapter of Job because of this? We're having to say, but I said, my leanness, woe unto me, because of the treachery of the dealers. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. We therefore put confidence in the dealers. We thought that they wouldn't deceive us. We thought that we could rely upon them. Did we think that we could rely upon our own hearts? Did we think that we could rely upon our own judgment? Despite what the Word of God says, despite the warnings that are given, despite the knowledge conveyed that our heart is deceitful, despite that which is written that he that trusteth his own heart is a fool, and yet we looked at these dealers and we came to them and we thought that they would be bound to tell us the truth, and so we trusted in what they said. And what did the heart say? Well, the heart may often have turned us aside from Jesus Christ. Perhaps the heart suggested to you that you had a good experience, and that was a wonderful thing for you to remember, and to tell other people too. Yes, indeed. But we find that it proved to be one of these treacherous dealers. How were they treacherous? Well, they directed our attention more to the experience that we had than the Lord that gave it. Now it is written that thou shalt have no other God before me. Oh, it is a blessing when by the power of God's grace we are very deeply concerned that we should not be idolaters in any way. We may be determined upon this. In our spiritual mind we may say, Lord, let me not be turned aside to idolatry. And then come along the treacherous dealers. The treacherous dealers putting the situation in such a way that we cannot perceive the subtlety of their argument, and before we are aware, there we are, down, 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 overcome, in a snare, in a snare. The treacherous dealers, you know, they are very concerned to rob you of any blessing that you have had. And it can be done so simply. It can be done even with a chance word or two with a neighbor. And before you are aware, you've lost the preciousness of Christ in your soul. And a treacherous dealer has been at work. Now, what are you going to do? Well, if you value the presence of Christ, you will surely cry out with the prophet here, my leanness, woe unto me. Leanness can come upon us very suddenly. And if you have not Christ felt in your soul, you'll feel lean. And at that, I'm sure some of you will know, can come on you ever so suddenly. As suddenly as the blessing of God can come into your soul. Now, who can you tell about this? How do you expect your husband to feel if you tell it to him? Or your wife to feel if you tell it to her? My leanness. What are they going to say to you? Are they going to be sympathetic? Or are they just going to say, well, you should have known better. You should have known better. Ah, how quickly we may be tripped up. Not watching our feet close enough. Ponder the path of thy feet, and we forgot it for the moment. Indeed, we may have thought that we were on short ground, and therefore had no need to ponder our feet at this particular stage. And the treacherous dealers, they said, now look on, look on, look up. Well, we need to look up. It is good for us to look up. It seems the right thing for us to look up. But then, what about the feet? Where are they leading us to? Because the pilgrims, you know, in Bunyan's book, were not observant enough. They had got onto enchanted ground. Oh, what a place for the treacherous dealers to deal treacherously. And then, in the next point, we may come to another treacherous dealer, which is the Word. Oh, what a treacherous dealer is the Word. Has it brought you, has it brought me sometimes to cry out, my leanness, woe unto me, because of the Word. Now, the world is deceitful. It is referred to in the Word of God as the world that lieth in wickedness. So we cannot expect anything from the world but wickedness. The advice of the world must have wickedness at the bottom of it. Now you see, we have a nature which is very willing to listen to the suggestions of the world. Indeed, we are plagued with the suggestions of the world in the present day. We are plagued with the point which is sometimes put forth from the world outside and the world inside, and they get together and they whisper together, and then they say, there's no harm in it. And we say, well, I don't think there is either. And it's not very long before you're found in this place where you're crying out, my leanness, woe unto me. Now, we shall not elaborate on the manner in which the world has come to you and robbed you and spoiled you of the favor and riches and the riches of Christ made over to you in your soul, so that your soul flourished. Because you will know only too well if you've been robbed by the treacherous dealers having dealt treacherously with you, presenting to you the truth, yes, but not the whole truth. Not the whole truth. When our enemies come upon us, they will very often present a matter in a way which you say, well, that's the truth. But then, we have to think upon it. Is it the whole truth? You see, when Satan, and we shall come to him shortly, when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke the truth to him. He quoted the scripture. He said, it is written. But he didn't quote the whole truth. There was one vital passage that he omitted. Now, if the world, and the world can quote scripture too, some you may meet in the world, they will quote a line of scripture, and they say, and you will immediately say, now isn't that wonderful? But you could be in a place where there's some treacherous dealing, and they're trying to draw you aside, and they're trying to get you to put a false confidence in them. And then we come on to Satan himself. Surely he would come in this last, the last passage here, yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Satan's field is very, very wide. He may come sometimes as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you may be immediately aware of this, and you will say, this is Satan. Well, there can't be any treacherous dealing in this. I recognize it as Satan in a moment. But then, if there is roaring, and the roaring of a lion, you may well find that it is calculated to make you fear, or to push you into a hasty decision, or to bring you to a place where you say, we must do something about it. And before you are aware, you're caught in a net. You're pushed into something. But then, we also read that Satan appears as an angel of light, deceiving many. And this is indeed dealing very treacherously. When truth, when something appears to be presented to you, and it seems to be right, and it seems to be true, and you come into experience, and it seems to be right there too. But we need to beware that Satan has not appeared to us as an angel of light. And we should discover it, that he has deceived us and dealt very treacherously with us when we begin to feel a malady. When we begin to feel that we are not being nourished by the food that is being given. This is the cause of meanness. Not being nourished by the food that is being given. And so you come and sit under the preaching of the word, and you don't find them pure nourished by it. And perhaps you're ready to say, well, of course, the preaching was poor. The opening up of the subject, I could have done better myself. Well, if that was possible, would it have nourished your soul? Because after all, one is not entirely dependent upon the preaching of the gospel in order that the soul may be nourished. There are other means of nourishment which are given to the people of God. For example, there is a meditation in the Word of God, which is indeed nourishment to the soul. As Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And he was not calling out, my leanness woe unto me, because his soul was being nourished as he looked into the word of God, and as he felt the benefit and blessing of the word of God, as he saw more clearly Christ in the scriptures. Well then, there is also the preaching of the gospel. How do we hear the gospel preached? Does it nourish us? Do we still remain lean? Or is there some putting on of flesh? I do not mean a flesh which is evil, but I'm now speaking figuratively relative to the healthiness and wholesomeness of the soul. Are we putting on flesh? Is the word nourishing us? Are we finding a benefit from the gospel that is preached? Or have we been in the hands of the treacherous dealers that have dealt very treacherously? Well, now you may say, how will Satan appear as an angel of light and deal very treacherously with us, especially when we hear the word of truth preached and it doesn't do us any good? We read in the Acts of the Apostles of the Bereans, who were more noble than those of Thessalonica, because having heard the preaching of the apostles, they went home and they looked into the scriptures to see whether these things were so. So you've got a combination of it, as it were, of two things: the listening to the truth and then the confirmation of the truth by looking into the word of God to find that these things were so. How comes the treacherous dealing? Well, the treacherous dealing will come when, having heard the preacher set forth the precious truth of the gospel, you look into the scriptures to see if you can criticize him. Now, immediately you begin to do that, you're in the hands of treacherous dealers, because whatever he has said will immediately fail to nourish you, nourish your soul. And therefore, you will begin to say, my leanness, what has caused my leanness? Have we been in the hands of the treacherous dealers? And if Satan may appear as an angel of light unto us, when we are reading the scriptures, I believe there is a great deal of treacherous dealing here which we need to guard against. Considering other versions outside this holy book here. You see, we can be in the hand of treacherous dealers here. When you say, well, now what does this say? And what does that volume say? What does the New English Bible say? Perhaps some of you have been caught in this treacherous dealing. And you may say, well, it makes it ever so plain. There are things I couldn't understand before, I can see quite clearly now. But has it nourished your soul? Or are you crying out, my leanness, woe unto me? It looked all right. It appeared to be very good. You thought you'd been on a good course. And there was that which you thought was the personification of truth itself, who said, this is right. But it didn't nourish your soul. Then what's happened? You've been the object, too, of very treacherous dealing. The treachery of the dealing lies in this, that it will turn our hearts away from the presence of Christ. The treacherous dealers have one thing in mind, It is simply put before us in the Psalms, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. And one of the things that you and I need to guard against particularly is thinking less of Christ. Now, we may unwittingly do this. And when we do so, it's the result of treacherous dealing. When we come to ourselves, we suddenly realize our leanness. We suddenly find that we're not being nourished. No, not being nourished from the Word of God, not being nourished from the preaching of that Word, and furthermore, not being nourished when we come to pour out our heart before God, we do not feel that nearness as we did before. Indeed, perhaps the treacherous dealers have gone so far as to say, well, now you should pray like this. You don't want to pray like you have been praying, confessing your sins. You want to pray and praise the Lord more. Oh, that it were so. It is good for us to praise the Lord. It is good for us to confess our sins also. Indeed, is it not written that we should make our request known unto God with thanksgiving? But beware of the treacherous dealers that would change the words but not the heart. So you discover that the wishes of your heart do not go with the words you say. And you've been dupe, as it were, of treacherous dealing. One may suppose that the man referred to in the parable of the Good Samaritan had fallen into the hands of a treacherous dealer, or treacherous dealers. And how was he left? In the same way that you may feel to be left when you cry out, my leanness, woe unto me. Half dead. Stripped of all you possessed. And the man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. The lush pastures attracted him to that worldly city. We're not told any detail, but we know the way his face was facing. And we know the way his steps were going. And are we in that place sometimes? And have the treacherous dealer said to us, well, you can leave Jerusalem for the time being, you can go down to that lush pasture, you can always come back again. Well, he did come back, but you see what he lost. He was in the hands of very treacherous dealers. But we now want to look at pouring out his soul unto God. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously, yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. We're now in the situation, the real situation is how things are. Now, people at times, when certain things happen, they call meetings, they form committees and so on in an attempt to discover why it happened. Really, friends, it doesn't really matter why it happened and what caused it to happen. The fact is that it has happened, and the need is that that might be remedied that has created havoc in the particular instance. So it is not a question of our now coming and holding a meeting in order to discover the reason why this happened. And if God opens your eyes, you will need to consult with other people and say, well, now, why have I got this leanness? Why have I got this leanness? Why do I not enjoy the blessing of God in my soul as I did formerly? It will be brought home to your soul in a solemn feeling, because you were not watchful, because you were not heedful, because you trusted people too much. You know, we live in a day where people are saying, you must trust people. Until you find them differently. Well, you expect to find somebody different from what the Word of God says they are. The Word of God tells us that the best of them is as a thorn hedge. So if you are likely to get scratched with a thorn hedge from the very best of them, dare you trust any of them? I would speak advisedly and carefully in this Word, but the Lord will not to be mocked, you know. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if we put our trust in men, then we shall smart for it. My leanness. You know, we have, I think it is the case of King Asa in the Old Testament, you know. We read so wonderfully in the earlier part of his life that he called upon the Lord in the time of his extremity, and the Lord wonderfully delivered him from the hand of his enemies. And then he grew older, and he became sick. And we read, instead of inquiring of the Lord, he went to physicians. Well, you say, surely that's all right. If we're ill, we must go to physicians. The point is this. We indeed may well go to physicians, but it ill becomes us to trust in physicians. And this is where poor Asa, he fell down. He went to the physicians. He said, now they'll do me good. And he didn't call upon God. So he was in the hands of a treacherous dealer. And maybe we've been in that place, in the hands of a treacherous dealer. Now, I want to set before you this evening the glory of Christ in this matter. He sees me often overcome, and pities my distress, and bids afflictions drive me home to anchor on his grace. Is there any person that will take compassion upon you when you cry out, my leanness, woe unto me, and then you give the reason for it? Well, the Lord Jesus himself is one that understands. And don't forget this, beloved friends, that he was the subject of treacherous dealers. Treacherous dealers from the world, treacherous dealers from the Pharisees, and also treacherous dealers from his own disciples. Because you will remember that Peter said unto him, this shall not be unto thee. Now that was treacherous dealing. Because had the Lord have taken notice of Peter's words, the whole of salvation would have been wrecked. The hope of Israel would have been destroyed. Because the purpose of Peter's words were to deflect him from going toward Jerusalem and engaging in those sufferings which were so necessary to put away the sin of the church. So, the Lord Jesus stood. But you may fall. And I do want to set this point before you, that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, my leanness, woe unto me, you're coming unto one who says, I know about the treacherous dealers. And I can sympathize with you in respect to the treacherous dealers. But I am able to revive. Wilt not thou revive us again, said the church in the 85th Psalm, that thy people may rejoice in thee. There can really be little rejoicing when we are crying out, my leanness, woe unto me. Woe is surely the very opposite of rejoicing. But the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. My leanness, what's that? It's a blow to pride, isn't it? Spiritual pride sometimes. And God has allowed it to come sometimes, but if we may use an expression, you're cut down to size. And you have to say, I'm nothing after all. Or, what I am by the grace of God. The sympathy of our Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful to poor people who are burdened with their leanness. So I repeat, come unto me, all ye that labour. Labour because of the leanness. Are you labouring to put it right? Are you labouring to eat more food? Are you giving more attention to reading the scriptures? Are you giving more attention to drawing near unto the throne of grace? Are you attending more services? If so be that this might be the remedy for your leanness, that you might get nourishment. Well, there's the nourishment there, but there's the food there, but there's no nourishment conveyed. Why? Because the Lord says, from me is thy fruit found. I am the bread of life. I sent it. There might not. Moses gave you not that bread which came down from heaven, that manna, but my Father gave you that manna. Now, one has very well said, a little, if it come from thee, will be of great avail to me. Now, some of you may have got down to the point in your leanness where you have said, a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed, with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. And I would have you observe this point. A crumb of mercy. Do you remember the few loaves that fed the 5,000? So they only had a crumb each, surely. But they had a crumb with the blessing of God upon it. And if you have a crumb with the blessing of God upon it, it will completely satisfy your appetite, it will completely nourish your soul, and in a moment you will feel that your leanness has been repaired, and that you've come suddenly into that place where the full soul loaded the honeycomb. I'm full. You know, in hymn which begins, prepare me, gracious God, the desire at the end of it is, let me attest thy power, let me thy goodness prove, till my poor soul can hold no more of everlasting love. Now you see, it's not quantity, but it's quality. And if you get one crumb of mercy with a deep quality of the blessing of God in it, there'll be perfect satisfaction. The Lord's hand, the hand of deity, is able to multiply a crumb. Now, can we look at it from just a portion of a scripture that may be applied to your soul? What do we think of? I have redeemed thee. Only a crumb. Just a two or three words out of the whole of the scripture. But has God multiplied that in your soul and made all the difference between your leanness and be flourishing again? A crumb of mercy. And to some of you, that might be a crumb of mercy this evening, if the Lord said, I have redeemed thee. Or he might also say, I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And with the blessing of the Lord upon such fruit, well, there's a reviving of the Spirit. There are many words spoken in discourses as they are delivered, and some of you, I'm sure, will be able to speak of a time of blessing, and you will refer to a certain discourse. But when it all comes to all, you, is it not true to say that it's just a sentence? Maybe a word, that the Lord took out of her all the words that were spoken, and he blessed it. He took the bread and blessed it. And that became satisfying. It made all the difference to your leaves. Is there not a significance? Perhaps we haven't always realized it. When we come to the Lord's table, and maybe we should have to say, "Thou knowest my leanness and my wants." And we felt lean. Now, we say at that ordinance, according to the scripture, "And the Lord took the bread and blessed it." And then the bread is broken, and the elements are passed round, and what do you take? Not very much, do you? Have you ever conceived that the Lord blessed it? Have you had the experience where the Lord blessed it? You just took that one element, that symbol, as it were, of his broken body, and you felt the blessing of God upon it. Now, it wasn't a bread, was it? It was only a crumb, if we may so speak, with all reverence, but there was the blessing of God in it. And the blessing of God brought into your soul a satisfaction. "This is my body, which is broken for you." Now, that sentence, applied with power to your soul, will certainly be a crumb of mercy. And it will deal with all my leanness, woe is me, because your soul will be nourished, and it will be nourished with Christ. Your hope will be nourished, your faith will be nourished, your love will be nourished. And then we read, he took the cup and gave thanks. Well, shall this be in the hand of God a means of delivering your soul from this sad cry, dolorous cry, can we say, my leanness, woe is unto me. He took the cup and gave thanks. I have remarked on more than one occasion at the Lord's Supper of the wonder of the Lord taking that cup and giving thanks when he knew the sufferings that he was shortly to embark upon. It was a cup of suffering that was symbolized as he took it and gave thanks. To the people of God, it is the cup of blessing. As Paul says, a chapter or two farther on in the Corinthians, I think it is, "The cup of blessing which we bless. Now, if the cup is blessed to your soul, if you hear those precious words, "This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins, drink ye all of it." What food, what drink for the soul, what a deliverance from woe unto me. Here is the fullness of salvation in the bread and in the wine. I know we sing, we may well sing, "We eat the bread and drink the wine, but oh, my soul wants more than sign." But nonetheless, how blessed it is to have the experience of it. What is the experience of eating the bread and drinking the wine? I just refer to one occasion in my life when my soul was absolutely dissolved and thinking upon these words at the Lord's Supper. And let me say this, When these words were such a rich blessing to my soul, I had not at that time joined the church, and I was looking on from behind. But the glory of Christ revealed in these sweet words, so fair a face, bedewed with tears, what beauty even in grief appears. He wept, he bled, he died for you. What more, ye saints, could Jesus do? Enthroned above with equal glow, his warm affections downward flow to those people that are saying, my leanness, woe unto me. In our distress he bears a part. Notice that. In our distress he bears a part and bears a sympathetic smart. Still his compassions are the same. He knows the frailty of our frame, our heaviest burdens he sustains, shares in our sorrows and our pains. My leanness, woe unto me. Oh, what a blessing to be amongst those who are favored to bring their case to the Lord Jesus Christ, to wait upon him and to feel that he comes like the Good Samaritan and heals their diseases and forgives their sins and makes over into their soul that a crumb, a sip, but nonetheless with a blessing of God upon it, which causes them to feel nourishment conveyed and the days of their youth restored. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. And so there is a returning. We think of those words in the prophecy of Hosea, where the prophet was led to say, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and I will give her, I will speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her her vineyard from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up and out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, that is, my husband, and shalt call me no more Baalai, that is, my Lord. Now there's a significance in this. We have often perhaps called upon God, referred to him as my Lord. But the blessing in store, if you are able by the grace of God to come to that place where you say, my husband, then you are the bride of Christ. Then you become indeed the legitimate wife of Christ. Then you will turn to the Song of Solomon and read it with a certain amount of sweetness. There you will derive nourishment, but in your lean state, you could gain no nourishment at all. My leanness, but I said, my leanness, woe unto me, the treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously, yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. So, we see the first part of this verse left, the first part of this verse returned unto. May we enjoy this blessing, which God alone can give. And if we should say this evening, my leanness, woe is me. Oh, what a blessing if you are committing your way unto the Lord, trusting also in him, because he will bring it to pass, that you will again feel nourishment communicated, strength given, enlargement of heart, growth in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
After the benediction, we'll sing the doxology. Our concluding hymn, 667, to the tune Eventide, 758. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head. My God, my portion, and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. Hymn 667.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, and the Father's love, and the fellowship of the Eternal Spirit be with you all. Amen.
The collections are for the support of this cause. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.